Okay, this week is Parshas Balak. Vayar Balak ben Sipar. Okay, first let me start off with something. It's not a real var, it's just an observation I came across. It always intrigued me, and I don't have any explanation. Just throw it out for discussion. There are three parshios that are allowed. There are three parshios that go together. There is Korach, Chukas, and Balak. What's the difference between Korach, Chukas, and Balak? The Kuf. In Korach, the common denominator of Korach, Chukas, and Balak is all three parshios have three letters. Korach, Kuf, Resh, Ches. Chukas, Ches, Kuf, Saf. There are four where? Shalach. Okay, but from these three parashios, we have each one has three letters, and each one has a kuf. The only difference is the kuf is traveling. The kuf starts out in Korach in the beginning, and in the second parasha the kuf is in the middle, Chukas, and in the third parasha Balak at the end. So what is the significance? Nothing. There is no significance. Okay, it's like Torah tidbits. I just said it to you for the purpose of open up the discussion of the parasha. But kuf, what is kuf? Kuf always represents the Gemara Masechet Shabbos on daf. What daf is it? I think it's a daf kuf. No, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara talks about the significance of letters of the Aleph base. All the letters, what they all represent. Each letter represents a certain concept. The letter kuf is kodesh. Okay, the letter kuf captures the concept of kodesh. This kedusha in Parshas Korach, this kedusha in Parshas Chukas, and there's kedusha in Parshas Balak. And I think it's very simple, is that the kedusha we say every single day, kodosh, kodosh, kodosh. And every single day we actually translate. It doesn't mean, if you ask the average person, what does it mean, kodosh, kodosh, kodosh? They'll tell you it means super duper holy. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean super known the shalashuris. There's shalashuris. There's a deluxe shalashuris. There's super deluxe shalashuris. And there's super, super duper deluxe shalashuris. So what does it mean over here? Kadosh, it means, we translate every single day, this kadosh, Hashem's kadosh is in the higher, in the upper worlds, in the Ashrei Uvol Etzion. Hashem's first kadosh is in the higher worlds. The second kadosh is Al Ara, on the earth, Ovad Gevurte. And the third kadosh is in Zeman. Three forms of kedusha. Kedusha in the upper worlds, kedusha in the lower world, and kedusha in Zman. I don't think it's a coincidence that in Korach, the revelation of holiness came from the upper world. Hashem said to Moshe, said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, these people, they got to be eliminated. So what happened? The miraculous things happened. The earth opened up from beneath. In Briya Yivra Hashem, a fire came down from heaven and consumed the ketores, the offerings, and the other one, the people, there was a magefa. The things that happened in Parshas Korach was a clear revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the upper world. Hashem was born, as he said, in Briya Yivra Hashem. Briya Sa'olam took place in Briya Kedusha from the upper worlds. Parshas Chukas is Pora Aduma. What is Pora Aduma all about? Bring holiness into your life. It represents that here in this world, there is Koyach of Tumah. In this world, Klal Yishol was Nichshol in the Chet HaEgel. They did Averos. And through the Averos, they've sunk into a very low level. And they had to elevate themselves. They need kapara. They have to remove the tumah from themselves. You have to bring kedusha. The kedusha comes from us. And the act of being metahir yourself to bring the egel, the poros, the mechapar on the egel, the entire avod of para aduma is teshuva, to work on yourself in order to be metahir yourself. And Parshas Balak, as we're going to explain in a few moments, it's very much the very central theme of Parshas Balak is Zeman. Balak knew the precise moment when to curse Klal Yisrael. The secret to Balak's success in his koyach of klala is that he Bilam's success in klala is he knew exactly the proper moment. The moment when the people, nations, and when Klal Yisrael was vulnerable. And Klal Yisrael, he would have succeeded. He knew the exact moment when we were vulnerable to the curse of Kalein. And we'll discuss that in a few moments, but a central theme that comes out in Parshas Balak is the concept of Zman. And there are many different ways. You want to go curse a nation that observes the Shalosh Rugalim. The Shalosh Rugalim are Shalosh Pa'amin Bashana. We'll talk about this concept of Zman. So there's a theme of Zman, Kedusha, and Zman in Parshas Balak. So therefore, just Kimi Meranis, I don't think there's much significance in the fact that it's Kuf, 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 but once already I've seen some of the Darshanim, they talk about this idea, it's, I think the mention is that these three Parshios represent the three different stages of Kedusha. There's Kedusha in Shemayim, there's Kedusha on the earth, there's Kedusha in Zman, and that theme fits very well into the theme of the three Parshios, the Kedusha, a revelation of Kedusha that we find in Parshas Korach, is a revelation of that's l'mala miderech ha-teva, straight from the source, from the Elyonim. The Kedusha that we find in Parshas Chukas is the Kedusha that we nurture in this world by elevating ourselves and removing the tumah from our midst. And the third Kedusha is a Kedusha of Zman, which indeed is a central theme to Parshas Balak. Okay. Let's now go to another day. Now let's talk about the fact that this week, Shabbos, tomorrow is a very significant day. Tomorrow is really the 17th day of Tammuz. We do not fast because Shabbos Kodesh, Tammuz, Shabbos B'Tammuz, it's a Nidcha this year, and we fast on Sunday. But it does not take away from the fact that tomorrow is Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. There are five tragedies that occurred on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. The most notable is, it was the Shviras Haluchas. The Luchos were shattered on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The second tragedy is a Sefer Torah was burnt in the time Sefer Torah was burnt, one of the earliest times that a Sefer Torah was publicly burnt. The third tragedy was obviously is that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. And that certainly was true during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. There's a machlokes, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, if this indeed was true during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. But for sure, during the second Beis Hamikdash, the walls were breached, and battles... I once heard someone speak, and he said, time yourself, how long does it take to walk from the walls of the old city to the Kotel? Takes about 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. It doesn't take that long. But it took the enemy, it took the Romans 3 weeks. 3 weeks to get from the walls of Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? There was war. Resistance. There was resistance. So you could only could imagine how much blood was spilled in those 3 weeks. This Kufa, the Beit HaMetzarim, it began with the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim, and there were many battles, and this is the third tragedy. The fourth tragedy is the Talmud came to an end. The Talmud leading up before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, something that was offered every single day, that came to an end. And what else? What else? What else? The fifth thing was an Avodah Zarah was put in the Beis HaMikdash on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. That is the tradition. A Pesel was put up in the Beis HaMikdash. So these are the five tragedies that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. All of these things happen tomorrow. I want to focus on one specific thing and show that this year it's very significant. It's a very significant year when significant events coincide with Shabbos. That's not to be taken lightly. Shabbos is Shavuos B'Tammuz. That's something that's unusual. That's something significant. There's a lot going on. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest accomplishment was what? So I think the average person would say his greatest accomplishment was Matan Torah. He went to Shemayim and he received the Torah. Right? He went to Shemayim. He did not eat 40 days, 40 nights, and he brought down the Torah. But that's not what it says in the Torah. The very last pasuk of the Torah eulogizes Moshe Rabbeinu and says, "Ulechol hayod hachazaka, asher osa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael, all of the great, the mighty hand of Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael. And what does that refer to? What does Rashi there say? Shviras Haluchos. The greatest accomplishment of Moshe Rabbeinu was to shatter the Luchos when he saw that Klal Yisrael did not deserve the Luchos. And that's something that's an accomplishment. It, maybe to us it's simple, but it was a novel idea that if you don't deserve something, you're not entitled to it. Okay, we live, unfortunately, in a way where we're entitled to things that we do not deserve. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you don't deserve it. He taught Klal Yisrael, you don't take and you don't take what you do not deserve. Every single Shabbos, Shachris, the main tefillah, Tzvavish, the main tefillah of Shachris, how do we begin the Shabbos? Yismach Moshe, b'madnas chelkoi, ki eved nemon korosolo. What is the madnas chelkoi? What's the matnas chelko? He should rejoice in the matana of his portion. Pashup shadim means Shabbos. The matana, that's his portion. Shabbos, that's the nusach of Shimon Esrei. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave us Shabbos. The very famous popular medrash. The one to invent Shabbos was not Hashem. I mean, it was Hashem, of course, but it was Moshe. When Klal Yisrael was working for seven, was working from its paro in Egypt in the Shibud, they worked originally 7 days a week. Moshe approached paro and says, "It's not a good idea that they should work 7 days. You have to give them a day off." Studies, he brought the statistics. He did a world survey of China and Indonesia and all the big countries and showed India, and he showed that if you have a day off from work, you're more productive. He presented the data to Paro. Paro acquiesced. Okay, pick a day. One day is Shabbos. Saturday, they're off from work. And Moshe used that day as an opportunity to teach Klal Yisrael Torah, to be mechazik them. They would distribute Megillos. It was a day of holiness for Klal Yisrael. And then after Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem said to Moshe, excellent, you are mechavin to what I want for Klal Yisrael. That day that you have selected to be a day of menucha from their hard labor and to focus on spirituality, indeed is now going to become one of the principles, one of the pillars of faith in Klal Yisrael. And the Melu, we allude to this every single Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Moshe, rejoice in the gift that is your portion. You are the one who gifted Shabbos to Klal Yisrael. And now on Shabbos, when we observe Shabbos, we refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki Eved Neman Karaslo, we then go on to refer to Eved Neman. Hashem called him, he's called Moshe Eved Neman. The only place where it says that Moshe was an Eved Neman is the very end of the Torah. So I want to give a homiletic interpretation to this Nusach HaTfilah. It's not, of course, the Pshat, but being that the Nusach here says Ki Eved Neman Karasalo is something that it says at the very end, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, the second, third to last pasuk. What? But it doesn't say Eved. B'chol Beis Neman Hu. The only place where it says that Moshe, Olochin Avdi, Olochin Avdi Moshe. Okay, all right. So we have to finesse it. Kasha never stops, Josh. But it still says at the end of the Torah, Vayomasha Moshe Eved Hashem. He's called the Eved Hashem. So here we are really alluding to the Matana that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael of Shvira Saluchas. Yismach Moshe, take delight, b'manas chelko. You gave Klal Yisrael the gift of Shvira Saluchas. What kind of gift is that? The gift is a gift to teach Klal Yisrael, you don't take if you don't deserve. You have to earn your keep. He taught that. Moshe Rabbeinu could have come down and said, Hashem gave us the luchos. Too bad. Ha ha. We already got it. We won. So now we did an avera. We'll do tshuva, but we already got what we got. No. Moshe taught Klal Yisrael, if you don't deserve it, you can't have it. This was a gift. This was something which Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael. The Shviras Haluchos. It's interesting, what is the difference between Moshe and Bilam? Here we have Parashas Chukas. Chazal said that the prophecy of Bilam was equal. It's shocking. A mushchis, like Bilam. Bilam was the lowest of low. He lived with his donkey. I mean, you don't hear about that today. You hear about bizarre abominations that take place in the world. But we're dealing over here with the low of the low. We're dealing over here with something that is just beyond comprehension, how low he was. Kavod, you see how the Torah describes, Ki chabed achabedcha me'oid, kavod, mamon, lust. What kind of deal person we're dealing with? And this fellow's prophecy was equal as plakmaria mi'ira, with the utter clarity, shachol keneged Moshe Rabbeinu. It's beyond comprehension. In order to be a prophet, you read what it says in the Sfarim, you have to, if you look at the Ramchal. The Ramchal, he would, you know, that's a modern person that was into these things. We know about Ramchal. We don't know about the Nevi'im, what they have to do to themselves. The Parishos. And the time, the fasting and the precious, in order to be on a spiritual level, to have some connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, prophecy is not for this generation. In this generation, we're pampered, delicate creatures. It doesn't seem it fits in line with what are the basic requirements, the boot camp for becoming a prophet. There were schools of prophecy. What do they do in these schools of prophets? They didn't eat, period. They didn't sleep. They spent the whole day, like you say about the Rav Shaul Salanter, just concentrating his baididus. This is extreme levels of precious. Bilam, Shaykh, to such kedusha of nevuah. Hashem said, if I don't give the umos ha'olam an equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's going to be a kitrig on Klal Yisrael at the time of Mashiach. They're going to say to Hashem, it's not fair. If you would have given us a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, we also would have fallen in line. We also would fall into place. It's not fair. So Hashem says, I'm going to do something that is so unusual, so extraordinary, and beyond comprehension. I'm going to go give you a Bilam that's a mushkas, and he can have prophecy like Moshe Rabbeinu be asplak Maria Hami'ira. Chazal tell us that the Torah is comprised of two parts. Moshe Rabbeinu Kosav Sifroi Uparshas Bilam. So Chazal, where's the Chazal? I don't remember what Chazal is. Moshe Rabbeinu, who in the Gemara, I think Megillah, the Maharsal Megillah, right, describes who wrote all the various sections of Tanakh. Who wrote Sefer Yeshaya? Did Yeshaya write it? Not necessarily. Who wrote Sefer Shmuel? Who wrote whatever? Who wrote the Svarim? Whoever wrote the Svarim, who wrote the Svarim? Who wrote Chamish Echum Shei Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, he also, there was his Sefer, and he also incorporated the Sefer of Bilam. It's only a few sections. So it's Moshe's Torah. Moshe, what is it? Are you accusing Moshe of plagiarism? If you're going to say Moshe wrote the whole Torah, so you say he's a plagiarist because he included. We know it's he took it from Bil. What's the shaila here? What Chazal emphasized is Bilam and is Moshe. The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu cannot tolerate. It is rochok mimizruch lamarev, the nevuah of Bilam. Because this is connected everything that Moshe Rabbeinu stands for. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest contribution to Klal Yisrael is ulechol hayod hachazaka asher osa Moshe le'enei Klal Yisrael shviras haluchos. If you don't deserve it, you don't get it. You earn your keep. Bilam is the complete opposite, the extreme opposite. He don't deserve even a mashahu of what he has. And Hashem gave him everything. Hashem gave him revelation. Hashem gave him a scarvus, like Lashbarachu, that's beyond comprehension. The male of Moshe Rabbeinu cannot tolerate. Look, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, you can say about many people in Tanakh. You can say about the Avos, he wrote his Torah, and he wrote the Brachos of Yaakov Avinu, the Brachos of Yitzchak, the Brachos of Avram. There are many things that you can say he wrote his Sefer, and the Sefer of other Ishei HaTanach. I'm sure you can figure out a way to find other sections of Chumash that are not unique to Moshe, but we don't do that. It's only Bilam. Well, that's in Tehillim. That's in Tehillim, right? But in Chumash, the Chamisha Chumash Torah, it's the only thing that Moshe does, went out of his way to say, hey, this is not mine. Don't put my name on this. I'll plagiarize from Avraham Avinu, I'll plagiarize from Yitzchak and from Yaakov and from the Shvatim, and who knows who else I'll take from, because, you know, you'll figure out that's not really mine anyway. Yeah, that doesn't bother me. But don't associate me with Bilam. I don't want my name on him. I don't want my name under no condition. Why? What bothers Moshe Rabbeinu to have his name on Bilam? Because this is the antithesis of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a horror for Moshe Rabbeinu. To take something you don't deserve doesn't go. L'chol hayana chazaka, this is his contribution. So I just want to make this observation. It's a very special Shabbos, because it's Parshas Balak this week. It's Shiva Asa B'Talos. And we say in the Shemona Esrei, Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelko. There's never a time where these three things come together. It's rare, every couple of years, every few years. How often do you have an opportunity to have such depth and such significance in all of these three things coming together like you have on this Shabbos? So when we read the word on Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'manas chelkoi, ki eved, which chelik, which manas chelkoi? It's the time when he was called an eved. When Moshe gave Klal Yisrael many gifts, he gifted many things to Klal Yisrael. But the gift that he gave Klal Yisrael on the time that is associated with Moshe Rabbeinu was the time of Vayomosha Moshe Eved Hashem. The gift that's mentioned there, Ulchol Hayon HaChazaka, his great accomplishment, Shuras Haluchais, Shavasta B'Talmos. Tomorrow is the anniversary. And this is the complete extreme opposite of what we're going to read about Bilam in the gift that he was given to take something that he did not deserve. You should cherish the moment, the opportunity to say, we should all cherish the opportunity to say the Shemona Esrei tomorrow with the right kavana. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea, I don't remember where I saw one of that. I'm pretty sure it's from Shimon Schwab. It's not my idea. It's a very powerful idea. It's a beautiful idea. I believe it's from his Sefer. It's definitely not mine. His question is a simple question. Parsha begins with Bilam being recruited by Balak. And Balak says, come, I got a good job for you. Do I got a job for you? Yeah, opportunity to curse Klal Yisrael. The Atah now, L'chon no, please, orli yes am hazeh, ki atzum hu mimeni, ulai uchal nakebo v'agor shenu min oretz. Ki odati, I know that you're a good person, you have the power to do so. Eis hasher tevrich mevodoch v'asher tov, you are. And guess what? I'm at your service. Instant the response, gives him a text message, instant text on WhatsApp. I'm ready. I'm all yours. I accept the invitation. I'm coming. Hashem comes to Bilam at night and says, don't you dear. Vayomer, he goes, and he says, what's happening? And Hashem says, no. Lo seilech imahem. Lo sa'ores ha'am ki baruchu. Hashem says, don't you dare. You want to go? I don't let you go. So what happens? So Bilam wakes up in the morning and says, I'm sorry, I wanted to go. I gave you a yes, but I have to rescind my acceptance because Hashem told me I can't do it. But you know, maybe Hashem will change his mind. So stay around. Stick it out. Let's see what happens. Hashem changed his mind. And sure enough, Balak says to them, listen, don't pay attention to Hashem. Pay attention to me. And here he says, come, I'm going to give you kavod. Look, here the invitation is a little bit different. He says, ki chabed, come, Bilam. Ki chabed, achabed chom me'oy. These are the most delicious words in the Torah. Ki chabed, achabed chom me'oy. I'm going to give you the ultimate kavod. It's mamish and yonad yom. I mean, Trump. Did you see the glow on his face? Ki chabed, achabed chom me'oy. The kavod of being the nominee from out of nowhere. This, and then what else? Money. I'm going to give you money also. So what happens? He says, wait. And sure enough, Hashem says, comes in the middle of that, Hashem says to him, you know what, you want to go? Go. All of a sudden, he was right. He played it out and he waited it out. Hashem says, they're coming to call you? No, go. Kum lechitam, go. V'ach, and you want to curse? Listen, you'll do what I tell you to do, but you can go. Hashem doesn't say no. Hashem just says, we'll see. Go and we'll arrange. My high, what changed? Why did Hashem first say no, and then Hashem said yes? So I'm not mistaken, Shimon Schwab says a very powerful answer, which is an extremely powerful limud hamusar. The first invitation, there was no talk about money, and there was no talk about honor. Bilam, I want to ask you a favor. Pro bono. Free. I want you to come and do it l'shma. Do it. Do it l'shem shemayim. Do it. Do it for your country. Do it for whatever. Do it because you believe in the cause. You believe in the mission. You believe in the cause.
Right.
So he says, yes, I believe in the cause. I'll come, I'll do it for free. He didn't demand money, he didn't demand, I'll come, I'll do it. Hashem says, don't you dare. The second invitation is, come. There's kavod. Chabed chabedcha. There's money. Hashem says, oh, all of a sudden it's now l'shma. You're already going to be blinded by the kavod and by the mamon. Oh, it's not l'shma. Hashem says, you can curse all you want, it won't make a difference, because if you don't do something l'shma with sincerity, it's worthless. So go, you want to go, do whatever you want, it's not going to make a bit of a difference. If they call, you have to, whatever, interpretation, they're calling to you.
Im akriya
shalacha, v'savarat olita l'leha sochar. Mamash Rashi says, if they're calling for your benefit, Mamash fits perfectly into Rav Shach, they're calling l'cha, it's going to be for you, you're going to derive, and then you can get money for it. You're doing it for money, you're insincere. Oh, then you are, then it's not l'shma. Al achas kama v'kama, kofel kiflayim, when you come to serve Hashem, if you're serving Hashem l'shem shemayim, it's gold. But if you're serving Hashem shaloy l'shma, okay, mitoch shaloy l'shma bo l'shma, in fact we learn mitoch shaloy l'shma bo l'shma, we learn actually from Bilam. Bilam, he offered 42 sacrifices, and the 42 sacrifices resulted in David HaMelech. And David came from him. Chazal say, in the schus of the 42 sacrifice that he offered, from that he was zechut to have David. David HaMelech came from him. Mitoch shaloy l'shma bo l'shma. But the point is, there has to be sincerity. There has to be a true mission. Someone who's told me last week, he went to a seminar on he's a salesman. He's not really a salesman, but he works, and he gave a marshal, he said a famous story for one of the big mumchim in sales, and he illustrated with an example. There was this true story. There were two people selling pots. And one of the salesmen was raking it in. It was extremely successful. And the other salesman cannot sell even one pot. So the one that was unsuccessful said to the successful salesman, my high, what is the secret to your success? So the successful salesman said to the one that was not successful, let me ask you a question. Do you own a set of these pots? Did you buy a set of pots, these pots for yourself? So he said, no, this is just my parnasa. I don't care for these pots. I'm just here to sell the pots. So he said, you'll never be successful. If you don't believe in your product, if you don't believe in it, then you'll never be able to convince someone else that the product is worth buying. If you yourself bought the pots and you use the pots and you appreciate the value of the pots, the quality of the pots, the uniqueness of these pots, and you believe in it, it will come out. When you pitch, you make a pitch to sell someone your product, it's just going to be natural. It's going to come out. People can detect in an instant if you are sincere or insincere. You'll sell a million pots. But if you don't believe in your own product, there's no way you're going to be able to succeed. And that's exactly what HaKadosh over here was going on as well. If you believe in what you're doing, then there's a real danger that you will be successful. And therefore, I will not allow you to curse my people. But if you don't believe in the mission, and you're only going for ulterior motives, there's no way you're going to be successful. So you can do everything that you want. Allah has kama v'kama v'kama. If you don't believe in your mission, in ruchnius, in gashmius, in anything that you do, you're not going to be successful. This is the Limud Musar.
The Malbim makes a differentiation in the words. He said, lo se lechi mohem. He said, initially God said the first time, kum lechi tom, go with them. In other words, itom, the significance of the word is
imohem,
alongside them, but you're not in lead with them. Lo se lechi mohem, don't go with them in terms of ideology.
Okay, now let's go to another. Now, I want to just say a little drush. This week is the beginning of the Bein Hamitzarim, the 3 weeks. So the Bein Hamitzarim, Balak is usually the first, is the parsha which leads into the Bein Hamitzarim. And this year it actually is the first day of the Bein Hamitzarim. Every event that happens in the week is always is always hinted in the parasha. And it's not a coincidence that in the story of Bilam, the pasuk says, let me find the pasuk. Vayamoid malach Hashem b'mishol hakramim. Goder mizeh de goder mizeh. The mitzar means the straits. We are in between the two. Bein min hametzar karosika. Netzar means straits, narrow places. Also loshon of tzar. Shiva osa betamuz is one boundary, and the other boundary is Tisha B'Av. We are bein hametzarim, between the straits, between these zamanim to kufos of tzar. And indeed, when the donkey was traveling, it also found itself Bein Hamitzarim. It says, Vayamod Malach Hashem, the Malach Hashem was standing b'mishol in the path, the narrow path of the vineyard, Goder Mizeh v'Goder Mizeh. And there was nowhere to go, trapped in the middle. Vatereho Asoynes Malach Hashem, and when the Ason saw the Malach Hashem, Vatilochitz Elakir, it crushed Bilam into the wall. It pressed him. He caused him tsar. It shoved him into the kir. Vatilchatz is regal Bilam alakir. His leg was crushed. Vayosef lakos somebody, and he continued to hit the donkey. And then later on in the discussion, after the Hashem opened up the piho asoin, vatoymer ho asoin el Bilam. Haloy onoichi asoincha. Am I not your donkey? Asher rechafta olai me'oidcha ad hayom hazeh ha'haskein iskandi la'asoyz l'chalko. Did I ever put you in danger to do something harmful for you? Fayom Allah. So why then? He's complaining. He's going, why then did you do something harmful? Why then did you go and you hit me? I want to say al derech drush that this is all a marshal for the Bein Hamitzarim. The Asoin is the same letters as the word Eson. In fact, that's the pasuk in this week's parasha. Eson Moishavecha, the Sim Basela Kinecha. In the prophecy at the end of the parasha, one of the last prophecies, Eson, let me find the pasuk, the Sim Basela Kinecha. Okay, but the word Eson is Aleph Yud Sof Nun. The Yud is a vowel. Aleph, Tof, Nun, Eson. What does it mean? It means might. The mighty holding place. Rashi says it means Lashon of Oz. Let me just see if I can find the Pasuk. If you know where the Pasuk is, you see the Pasuk?
Yeah,
Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk of Avayar Esakeni Vayisam Shabayamar Eson Moishavecha the Simba Silakinecha. Rashi translates the word Eson Aleph Yud Sofnun. The Yud is a vowel because it's a tseri Aleph Sofnun, and Rashi translates Tama Ani. Eson means the might. And therefore, the Oyz Shel Yisrael is no one greater, there's no greater Eson in this world than the Ribbono Shel Olam. The word Asoncha may be homiletically translated as your mighty one. As your mighty one, it's the same letters. Aleph, Tof, Nun, it's exactly the same letters, the same exact Sharish, and homiletically you can translate the word your mighty one. And who is your mighty one? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Who is the Malach Hashem? That's Hashem's, the Malach Hashem is Hashem's messengers, Nebuchadnezzar, Rome, the ones that Hashem sends out to Klal Yisrael to cause them to suffer. So let's now take those ideas and see how it's a mashal, it's a powerful message for Musar, for Klal Yisrael, here in the opening week of the Bein HaMitzarim. The Malach Hashem, who is that? That is the enemies of Klal Yisrael. The messenger of Hashem has been dispatched to bring to Klal Yisrael Churban, obviously for our sins. Vayavoid Malach Hashem b'mishol hakramim, in the path of the vineyard. Goder mizeh v'goder mizeh. Here we are. We are now in the Bein HaMitzarim. We're in between the two boundaries of Tsar. And in between these two boundaries of Tsar, there is Hashem's messengers that are coming to cause us Tsar. How are we supposed to react? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do tshuva. Because if we don't do tshuva, the Malach Hashem is going to be permission to inflict harm upon Klal Yisrael. Hashem is watching. Hashem is watching. Will we do tshuva or will we not do tshuva? Vatere ha'osoin is Malach Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Osoin, the Osoin is the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he sees. Es Malach, he sees that the punishment is ready to come upon Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is not doing tshuva. They're not doing tshuva. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Malach Hashem is here to destroy Klal Yisrael. Let's say even more further. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brings upon us Yisurim. Vatilochetz el hakir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pins us. He brings upon us Yisurim. Vatilchatz es regel bilom el hakir. And the idea over here is that we have now been pained through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is happening during these three times. And unfortunately, how do we react? Instead of doing teshuvah, we beat the Osoin. We blame Hashem. Familiar to the theme that we're learning in Yirmiyah, instead of doing teshuvah, Vayach Bilam Es Ha'osoin, he beats the Osoin, which is symbolic of saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's your fault. Why are you going and causing us harm and telling us to do teshuvah? We put the blame on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, how dare you? V'aytoymer ho'osoin, the might, the Eson Moshevecha, says to Klal Yisrael. Bilam over here is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Bilam is Bili'am. Well, this I'll leave for you how to figure out how Bilam is a marshal. There are many different Mahalchim, whatever. Haloi Hashem says, Onoichi. Asoincha, Onoichi is a code word solely for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asoincha, I have been your stronghold. Asher rochavta olai. I have carried you through history. Esa eschem al kanfei neshodim. Me'oidecha, from the day of your existence. Ad hayoim hazeh. Ha'haskein hiskanti. Did I ever allow you to be in a matzav of sakana? I always protected you in the midbar. I provided you with the mon. I provided the nani akavo, the amudei ho'esh. La'asois l'cha ko. How dare you strike me? How dare you insult me and tell me that it's your fault, Hashem, why we're suffering? Go look at yourself. Take some musar into yourself. So it's not a coincidence. I'm trying to suggest over here is that this is not a coincidence. Parshas Balak is always the opening parsha for the Bein HaMetzorim, because in Parshas Balak, in this event of the Malach that is caught, that the Bilam, who here symbolically represents, and this Mashal represents Klal Yisrael, he is a Mashal for Klal Yisrael, he is caught between the Mitzorim, we're caught between Shavas Matamas and Tisha B'Av, and we see that in front of us, Chorban is hovering over us, complete obliteration, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to save us from the Malach Hashem that will bring complete obliteration, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, by bringing upon us Yisurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Vatilochetz al Akir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a shove into the wall. Wake up, do tshuva. And how have we responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's request that we do tshuva? We have Vayach Bilam Es HaOsayin. We have rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Musar by striking back and blaming HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he speaks to us and he says to us, how dare you? I have been carrying you your entire existence. And at least the nechama at the end of the pasuk is Klal Yisrael, the least halavai, we shall come to the realization, recognition, vayom elo, we acknowledge that indeed Hashem is innocent. Aniva ami horashoim, we are the ones that are guilty. Hashem at tzadik, aniva ami horashoim. Okay, a little drush for Parshas Balak. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea is a sensitive idea, but I like provocative things. We have the brachas at the end of the parasha, Matoivu Olecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. Beautiful pasuk. Rashi provides us with two interpretations of the meaning, the deep meaning of Matoivu Olecha Yaakov. We say this every day. In some shuls, they actually have this on the Aron HaKodesh. Matoivu Olecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. Let me find the pasuk. This is the only thing that was not transformed into a klala. Pasuk Hey, what parak?
Chavdalid
Pasuk Hey. Chavdalid. Okay, Pasuk Hey. Now, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says two things. Number one, Al Shera Pischehem She'enam Michuvonim Ze Mul Ze. Bilam observed that Klal Yisrael, when they pitched their tents in the desert, the entrances of the tents were not opposite one another. No, what's it called? Voyeurism? What was it? Voyeurism? Voyeurism. It's a big thing today. Voyeurism? I don't know how to pronounce it. Voyeurism. You're not allowed to look at what's doing in someone's private property. This is called, so he saw Klal Yisrael, Matoivu, how beautiful are your tents, She'enim Chuvam Zem Mul Zem. Beautiful. Klal Yisrael has sensitivity towards one another. You don't look in someone's bedroom, what's going on. You don't look in someone's living room, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. Klal Yisrael, it shouldn't even be an accident. They arrange it at the Pesach of your bayis. When you come out of your bayis, you should not even have any nisayon to see what's going on in someone else's house. Rashi's second interpretation says, it refers to the Bate Kinosios. Look at Klal Yisrael, look at the beautiful, and there refers specifically to Mishkan Shiloh, and to the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, the Mishkan, Chanu Yosecho, your encampments, Mishkan Sech Avkashen Charuvim, Rashi goes on to say, refers to Mishkan Osayich, Avkashen Charevim, Lefi Shehen Mishkan, Mishkan, he has different interpretations, but it means the Bate Kinosios, the Bate Midrashos. How beautiful, and that's why in the Bate Kinosios, the proof is in the pudding, you see this on the signs and the walls of the Bate Kinosios, so I want to suggest that these are not two independent statements. There's something much deeper. There are two sides of the same coin. It's a davar pashut ad ma'od. It's none of your business to know what's going on in someone else's house. Right? You don't, it's none of your business to know what he's eating for lunch. And Allah has kama v'kama. Worse things, more private things. None of your business to know someone else's finances. Mind your own business. But what about when it comes to Ruchnius? What about when it comes to Ruchnius? Ruchnius, is it your business to say to a person, you know, I don't think you're learning enough. I don't think that you are learning enough. I don't think that you are hashkofa is a proper hashkafa. I don't think your approach to dealing with this religious issue is. I want to know what is going on in your mind when you daven Shmoneh Esrei. Why don't you share with me and let's discuss what's going on in your mind? So, obviously, every person has an achrayis to be mechazik his friend and to provide an environment, but sometimes people feel adrab. You have, but the truth is, it's none of your business. Just like it's none of your business in understanding a person's finances and understanding a person's what he's having for lunch and alachas kam v'kama, what's going on in other areas of his private life. The way a person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as there is a relationship, not, obviously you have to have a balance, but as long as a person is in a healthy relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he davens 3 times a day, he learns, he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he gives tzedakah. It's none of your business to analyze and to have insight into his unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single person has a unique relationship with Hashem. That's the Metzius. What? Arvus, that's the point, to a certain degree. You have an obligation that the person should have the tools he needs, and if a person is not with the program, obviously you have to step in. But if a person is in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's none of your business.
You don't mean Arvus, you mean Ocheach.
It's none of your business. You don't have to know. You don't have to know what is he doing during Shmona Esrei. A person downs a long Shmona Esrei. What's going on there? It's none of your business. That's what it means. In Klal Yisrael, there are many. It's something to challenge. In Klal Yisrael, there are many mahalchim. There are many ashkofas. No two people think alike. You know, the older you get, the more you come to appreciate, to realize, there's another opinion, there's another way of doing things, there's another hashkafa. Not everyone fits into the cookie cutter, not everyone fits into the same mold. All different types of people, different strokes for different folks. That's the way it is. And therefore, don't put your shul, figuratively, don't build your shul, if you have your Beis HaKnesses with your hashkafa, don't build it right opposite someone else's Beis HaKnesses that has a different hashkafa, figuratively, where every time you go out, you're looking, oh, we're doing it this way, and you're doing it that way. We celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, and you don't celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. That's just one extreme example of war, and you approach this hashkafic issue this way, and you approach it that way. You know, it's none of your business. Everyone has a legitimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all on the same page. There are different ways to approach, and Matoyvu Bilam saw something which fortunately we don't see all the time. And in fact, Chazal say, what's so bizarre is Chazal said all of the brachos that Bilam gave Klal Yisrael were Nahapech Leklala. The other way around also. No, but it says the other way around as well. It says that all of the brachos he gave, when Klal Yisrael did not do Ritzon Hashem Makom, they were all bottled. The only thing that was pure to the core, that endured forever, was this pasuk, Matoyvu Ohelecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael, which is a powerful limud mussar, that if you take these two ideas and you put them together, mind your own business, which simply means it's not your business what the person's eating for lunch, and the second is, what a beautiful thing that we have in Klal Yisrael, Batek in Nesis, Batek Midrashos. But if you combine the two together, the meaning is, it's none of your business what they're doing in their shul. If this is not your hashkafa in life, it's not the way you've been brought up, it's not natural to you, different people, they think differently, there's another opinion, another hashkafa, another approach, mind your own business, let them serve Hashem in their way, and you serve Hashem in your way, and shalom al Yisrael. Don't impose your hashkafa upon someone else. This is the only bracha that endured for all time, and alachas kam v'kama, how we should take it seriously, and we should let it endure, and it should be serious to us. The proof to this is, what's my proof that this there is some truth to this, is because the only other time we have the word toiv in this week's parasha is not actually in the parasha itself, but is in the Haftarah. It's a very beautiful haftarah, a very famous haftarah, and the last words of the last pasuk of the haftarah is, "Higid l'cha adam ma toiv u'ma Hashem." It has been told to you, to man, what is toiv, what is good, what is toiv. U'ma Hashem elokecha doyresh mimcha. What does Hashem seek from you? Ki ma'asoyis mishpat v'ahavas chesed v'hatsneya leches im elokecha. Tznius, and the tznius of yours is not referring to clothing, it's referring to tznius of kedusha. A person should not brag, should not show his religious beliefs. Your matzliach in your relation to Kadosh Baruch Hu, hatznea lecha simulokecha. And what is the select word that the Navi chose for, Micha chose to express the idea of tznius of kedusha? Uma higid lecha adam ma toiv. What is toiv? What is the connection between the two? Well, if you take the two, Mamori Chazal of Rashi, then there's absolutely no connection. It's none of my business eating for lunch. The shuls are beautiful. And this is toiv. And then there's something called toiv in Hatznei Aleches. My relation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is private. It's private. It's none of anyone's business. It's not for me to tell you. It's not for you to tell me what to do. We have our own. But if you take the two ideas of Rashi and you combine the two together, then it's a perfect match. The Haftar is in fact coming to tell us, Higil Chodom HaToiv is to take the two Mahalchim and Rashi, synthesize them, and live and let live in a pleasant, peaceful way with your neighbor when it comes to all religious matters. Okay, let's go to another short idea before we wind down, and that is the idea of kavod. This is a repeat. I probably told this to you the year before, but I think it's an important part. The idea of kavod. Bilam demanded, or not demanded, was promised, ki chabed achabedcha me'oid. If only you will come. If only you will come and do my bidding, I will give you great honor. Obviously, Bilam was a person who was a soft spot. Not everyone likes scissors, not everyone likes coven, not everyone likes to be in the limelight. Some people, they'll pay, give all their money not to have coven. It's an interesting thing. Some people, they can't get enough of it. Just no matter how much you give them, Bilam, this was something that was a soft spot for Bilam. He enjoyed coven. That's one area in the Torah we find kavod. The other area in the Torah we find kavod is when the donkey is a very powerful Rashi, when the donkey was put to death, Gam oischo harakti, Bilam said to the donkey, you know, you embarrass me. I really, and you didn't do, you pushed me into the wall, I should have killed you. Harei zemikum esuris Rashi there in this pasuk, pasuk lamagimul perek chav beis, pasuk lamagimul says, The other way around. The Malach said to Bilam, you know, really, I should have killed you and let the donkey live. That's what I really should have done, because the donkey was running you wrong. The atam imneisha dibra v'hechichachta v'lo yechalta lama b'teichacha k'moisha kosa v'yom lo yiloyil harak tiha. Rashi explains to be Mekatzer, Rashi says something very, he's medayik in the pasuk, that the Malach put the donkey to death. The donkey, after it delivered Musar to Bilam, the donkey died. It was killed. And the Malach said to Bilam, you see, Bilam, what I did to the donkey? I killed the donkey, and I let you live? Really? It should be the other way around. The donkey should live, and you should die. But, for whatever reason, why did I allow you to, why? And Adarab, can you imagine if this donkey was alive? Could you imagine, they put it in the museum. They put it in the museum, it would be a business. Everyone would come to see the donkey, they would pay $20 to see the donkey. This, what? What were you saying? This is the donkey. Everyone would come to see. Wait, the donkey, that's the Democrats. Who is the elephant? The elephant is the Republicans, right? So donkey is the Democrats. Okay, so the donkey would be in a museum and everyone would come to see the donkey and they would say, wow, look at the miracle, the donkey spoke. So why do they put the donkey to death? So Rashi tells us the answer to the mystery. The answer is Shelo Yoimru Zohi Shesolko Es Bilam B'toychachta. This is the one that prevailed upon Bilam with its musar. V'loyachala hashiv, and was stumped, was not unable to respond. And here are the key words: v'shechos hamokoyim al kivoid habriot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion on kavod habrios, that it should not be that an animal got the better of a human being. This animal is a source of shame for Bilam. Bilam was put to shame by an animal. Every time everyone sees this donkey, they say, ah, this is the donkey that silenced Bilam. Bilam was a Rasha. Bilam was a Mushkas. But Bilam was a human being that was created in the Tzelem Elokim. Kovod HaBriyos. Animal is an animal. It's not Tzelem Elokim. Man has dignity. And Kvoid HaAdam demands that the donkey be put to death. So look at the extremes. There's no area in the whole Torah, B'chol HaTorah Kula, Shas and Poskim, where you have kavod like you have in this week's parasha. Ki chabed achabedcha me'od. Delicious words. And Bilam was all for it. You couldn't get a better candidate for chabed achabedcha than Bilam. And what was the end? He tackled that kavod. He did get kavod. He didn't get the kavod of being on the world stage. Everyone should watch. Look at him, his family, and so on and so forth. He didn't get that. He didn't make it to the big screen, and not even to the little screen. He didn't get there. But he did get COVID. What was the COVID he got? At least he wasn't put to shame. He wasn't put to shame that an animal, a donkey from all creatures, at least maybe a horse should say something to him. At least a giraffe, a donkey should get the better of him. That was the cover that he got. And this is an incredible, powerful limud hamusar. When mispalel every Rosh Chodesh, chayim shel oysher v'chavoyit. What does it mean, chavoyit? Kavoyit. Ezeh mechubet ha-mechabed, avada, to give cover to someone else. But not even on a simple level. What are you thinking about? I should be on the stage, the whole world's going to watch, the big screen. Is that what we're asking for? You know what it means. Learn from Bilam. Halavai, I shouldn't be put to shame. That's what it means. Halavai, I shouldn't be mahapech asaka'ara. Halavai, I should make out this month without being in the daily news. That's what it means. Manish, don't slip up. And sometimes you can slip up for the stupidest things you never in your life would imagine. It just can take on a life of its own. Just stay squeaky clean and don't be put to shame. Kavod HaBriyos. That's the true kavod we have in this world. Okay? And with that, we start with saying Shemona Esrei. We say Shemona Esrei. The same Socher, Toiv Lucha Labot, Kavim, Vesim Chayimim, Veloi Nevosh. Veloy nevash. We say that in the Shemona Esrei, we should not come to shame. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Have an easy and meaningful fast.